The video shows a nightmare scene in Mexico. A man tells his kids to take cover during a shootout last month in Culiacán. Battles broke out after the military arrested the son of Joaquin El Chapo Guzman. But security forces were outgunned, and El Chapo's son was let go. Just one stark example of the power of the cartels. But Mexico is not in this fight alone. For years, it's partnered with the U.S. to battle organized crime. Here's the world's Monica Campbell.
First, a trained dog smelled the drugs. Then an X-ray revealed the stash in the trailer heading in from Mexico.
It was carrying about 100 packages of fentanyl and I believe over 300 packages of methamphetamines.
That's Michael Humphreys, a U.S. border official at a press conference this year in Nogales, Arizona. He's standing near stacks of plastic bags filled with pills and powder. Then a reporter asked,
"Was it supposed to be carrying?"
What was the truck supposed to be carrying?
Well, it was carrying produce. In the interior of the trailer, there was produce, cucumbers.
Cucumbers. Other times, it's drugs hidden in trunks and gas tanks. The Arizona bust was big, but typical in terms of how drugs get to the U.S., through busy checkpoints, as a result of corruption on both sides. Tony Wayne was U.S. ambassador to Mexico under President Obama.
It doesn't just get to the border and then become catapulted to Boston or Chicago or other places. There's supply infrastructure to deliver it on both sides of that border.
That infrastructure, plus demand for drugs in the U.S., keeps Mexican cartels pulling in billions of dollars a year. David Shirk is a professor at the University of San Diego who studies Mexico and the fight against organized crime.
The amount of profitability from drug trafficking means that you can corrupt entire police corporations. You can corrupt high-level government officials. And you can buy enough firepower to cow the federal government in Mexico.
In 2008, the U.S. and Mexico pledged to fight organized crime. It was a $3 billion plan that funded military equipment like helicopters and also helped train police, go after money laundering, and strengthen Mexico's courts. But success is hard to spot. Today, violence in Mexico is increasing again. And cartels don't just deal in drugs anymore. There's human trafficking, oil theft, and extortion. Mexico's president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, is still leaning on the military to fight crime, but also has a new approach that he puts quite simply.
Abrazos, no balazos.
Hugs, not bullets. Let's avoid all-out battles, he says.
That has proved to be, so far, a total failure.
Mónica Serrano, a crime expert in Mexico City, says it's a failure because cartels don't feel threatened by a simple military presence. At the same time, she says, more military isn't the answer either. Sure, security forces eventually captured El Chapo, but others took his place.
So what would it take to try to put in place the right kind of policies? I really don't know.
This much is clear, she says. Mexico can't win while there's a demand for drugs in the U.S.
That ends up cornering Mexico in a situation in which, damn if you do, if you resort to more firepower, mobilized military means, and damn if you don't, as is happening right now with López Obrador.
President López Obrador says he wants to focus on fighting corruption and funding education and jobs to keep young people from joining cartels. Meanwhile, President Trump is focused on the border wall and migration. Mexico is working with Trump to try and keep migrants away from the U.S., but a new agreement on fighting organized crime may get tougher after gunmen ambushed a U.S.-Mexican family this month in Mexico. Six children were killed. Trump said it was, quote, time for Mexico, with the help of the United States, to wage war on the drug cartels. It was unclear what Trump was offering exactly, but López Obrador rejected any hint of intervention.
Creo que no.
No, he said. We need to protect Mexico's national sovereignty, a key feature of the country's foreign policy. To former Ambassador Wayne, it was a sign of tension, just as Mexico and the U.S. must work together because of the stakes.
In the United States, it's the tens of thousands who are dying from overdoses
And in Mexico, it's the tens of thousands, over 30,000 last year, who died from violent homicides, much of which is fueled by drug-related crime.
And there's one request that many people in Mexico ask of the U.S., stop the flow of guns into Mexico. Oscar Minas is a criminologist who lives in El Paso, Texas, but works across the border in Ciudad Juarez.
Es extremadamente fácil y se ha visto con estas tiendas que venden armamento en las.
He says there are stores, pawn shops, individuals selling weapons all along the border, from assault rifles to pistols, you name it.
Y hay bandas bien organizadas que pasan por distribuidores y vendedores legales.
Minas says criminals use straw buyers or someone with a clean record who can buy several guns at once. Current U.S. officials wouldn't grant an interview to talk about anti-gun trafficking efforts at the border. But back in 2017, some members of Congress did introduce a bill to make this trafficking a federal crime. It has not gone anywhere. For the World, I'm Monica Campbell.